Luke 16. We're now going to study the parable of the rich man, Lazarus, and Lazarus the beggar. So, this is one of the most interesting parables, if you will. But unfortunately, it's where a lot of people get their idea about heaven. So let's just read it, and then we'll talk about it in detail. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they may also come into the place of, that they also, lest they also come into the place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Moses said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Anybody have any thoughts as we read that?
I did right there at the end of how it's a great exhortation to listen to Moses and the prophets.
Well, the mind-bending one to me is this: even though one came from, rose from the dead, came and talked to him, and they said, well, I still wouldn't hear. But they think they hear. That's the issue. Anyway, let's go back and look at it. Word study.
There's one other thing I noticed where he took Abraham, or the beggar was taken into heaven.
Abraham's bosom.
Abraham's bosom, whereas the other guy was just buried.
Abraham's bosom, by the way, is always a parable of heaven. It's not. But it's where we get the theology that this is a parable, and it's not to be literalized. But people take this parable and literalize it as this is what heaven is. Or you can, Abraham would have a very busy bosom. Yeah. Everybody that, anyway. Riches. A It's plosis in Greek, but it doesn't matter. But it means it doesn't mean what we think is rich. It means it just means more than enough, or it could mean the abundance or extremely wealthy, but it from the parable's meaning, it just means more than enough. We in this country are so, even the poorest, they're so much richer than most of the population of the universe or the world that it's mind-bending. But we're not going to study that. He was rich, clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple and fine linen are the colors and colors and fabric of royalty, and it's still true today. It's been true all over the world that the royal families they're decked in, and these. It's always somehow purple is part of that royal color. Let's go to Revelation. Let's look at Revelation 17. This is the whore of Babylon. So in verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones, etc. And then in Revelation 18, just one verse. Well, it's talking about, this is the destruction of Babylon. Let's start in verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron, etc., etc." Anyway, the colors. Fine linen is a word. It's the word busos, but that's the name of the finest Egyptian flax, and so the name of that flax, it still is where the best linen comes from. It's from Egyptian flax. So the idea was arrayed in fine linen and purple. Again, from the world standards, we are arrayed in fine linen and purple. I mean, even the poorest, because we've got more than enough. And that's why I'm not going to spend time on that. But, and fared sumptuously, fair is a word which means to elate or make joyful. And sumptuously is just an emphasizing of that, splendidly and magnificently. But the interesting, we're going to spend time on this beggar. Beggar is the word for poor, paktos. It means helpless, maybe reduced to begging, lowly. It can be afflicted. But let's look at a word where this is used. Hey.
Sorry.
And let's go to Matthew 5. This is the Beatitudes. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is where this whole idea of what we discuss is the meaning of the poor. Poor in spirit means that there is nothing left. You have reached a point where there is nothing in your life that sustains or satisfies you. And therein becomes, you become blessed because you can hear the gospel. So you are the ones that hear the gospel, or that can hear, are the same word is used for this beggar, paktos. Because that poor in spirit is the only way and the only one that can hear the gospel. Let's look another place. Let's look at Luke 4. Go back to Luke 4. This is where, I remember the first sermon, if you will, that Christ preached was in Nazareth. And it, in the 3-year cycle, it was the day that they were, or the Sabbath that they were studying the 61st Psalm. We spent a lot of time back on this when we were doing a 3-year cycle. But so he was invited to get up to read because he had, that's a big honor to be asked to read, but he had already started having a name in Galilee because he had healed some. So he was invited to stand up to read. And this is what he read. It's just quoted in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, really, the blind, the captives, the bruised are really just, doesn't mean you have a boo-boo on you to be bruised. It means that you are bruised so that, in the sense that there's nothing that satisfies you. There's nothing that sustains you any longer. Because as long as you still have something that sustains you or satisfies you in the world, you will always use or try to use the gospel for self-realization. Does everybody understand that? It's automatic. It's as natural as breathing. Because your mind is still trying to interpret the gospel, and your mind will always try to benefit you. (Clears throat) Let's look at another one in Luke 6.
Can we look at that just another second on 18, the last sentence, where the part to set at liberty
them that are bruised.
Bruised is those who are beat up by the world and encumbered by all its demands and all its promises.
Well, it has to mean in the context an expansion on what to preach the gospel to the poor, because that's what the rest of that is. And it's Isaiah 61 in here, he's expanding, the call is to preach the gospel to the poor. And everything that after that is an expansion on what that means. So I don't know right now what that word bruised is, but you can know that it's in it, to the deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. All are expansions on what it means that the poor means. The one thing that I mean, the world is full of Christians. The world is full, there's millions and millions and millions of people that say they've been born again. And many of them are deceived because they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior in order to gain benefit from Him in their lives. And there's a great, it's the same people that it talks about, the veil is over their eyes. They can't hear, they can't see. And the veil, it's like it starts out as an iron curtain. And as things happen, because the Holy Spirit is still working on you, trying to get you to understand the fullness of the gospel, so that you can see and hear. It's like it started out as like a veil of steel, and then, you know, for some it takes years and years and years for that veil to finally be destroyed. And that's what I'm happy for people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, but as long as they continue to use him for their purposes and all the how-tos, then the veil is there. And so the Holy Spirit has become their enemy until they finally reach that state of poverty. But those are the people where you'll get most, where you'll bear his reproach the most outside the camp. I know this from personal experience. You won't bear you won't bear reproach from the atheists or the. In America, we bear as reproach from those who think that they see. Amen. You're doing it. What are you doing, Gary?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want all they've committed themselves to in Christ's name for the wrong reason. They wouldn't want that to be wrong or to be exposed. I mean, there's such great turnings of life for them when they walk the aisle and say yes. They've probably been tricked to walk the aisle with all that they'll get from Christ if they'll just surrender.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but those cards that we've been dealt in the past, you know, most of the reproach came from a from a political standpoint, because the preaching of the cross was a thing, as we've talked about many times, was a threat to every form of thought there is. And unfortunately, from the standpoint of that I can see, the preaching of the cross is rarer than hen's teeth.
Rarer than what?
Hen's teeth.
Farmer.
That's a farmer's expression. Hens don't have teeth. All right, back to Luke. Oh, no, we were going to Luke 6. Charlie, that's just another one of the Beatitudes. Go to Luke 7. This is when John the Baptist sent somebody to find out if Jesus is really is the Christ, even though he had baptized him and saw that. We forget. You know, we forget things. In verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto him, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. But that's not the preaching of the gospel. But to the poor the gospel is preached. You see the emphasis? All right. Back to Luke 16. Not 20.
What about these other guys?
Huh?
I mean, that's an interesting, the fact that they pull out preaching the gospel to the poor, but what about the leper and the blind?
The point that all, remember, he did all that to know he had the power to do it. But he had to give up that power. That was his temptation. So he was tempted to use his power as Son of God to fix the world. And that's fundamentally what is preached today. But that's not the reason that that's not the preaching of the cross. That's not the preaching to the gospel to the poor. Understand?
Well, sort of, yeah.
That's why we have, today we have deliverance ministries, and we have healing ministries, and we have, all these different things. That's not the ministry. The ministry is to preach the gospel to the poor. In the process, these things may happen, but that's not the reason. If we're going to continue with him and his test, then the test cannot be to fix the human race. The human race is unfixable. But you have to know that you have the power to do that in order to give it up.
Yeah, there's just something unique about each of these positions.
Because they're fulfillment of prophecy.
I don't think that's what makes it unique. It's being blind. Leper, being lame, being can't hear.
But a lot of people that were healed and could hear and could see. They didn't necessarily become believers. If they were poor, they probably did.
Well, is that not poor to be blind?
No.
And you can't see?
No.
It's a parable?
No. Because you fill it up with your own riches, your own opinions, your own ideas. And you always have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. Now, they can accept Jesus as their Savior, but they'll think they did it because he made them see. But then, by the act of the Holy Spirit, they will have to come. They will have to be made poor so they can see or hear. You're thinking?
Oh, it just doesn't gel completely with me. There's some deeper parable to these ailments that rise above just the fact that a guy can see. That we're all blind, we can't see, but with him, in him, we are healed to where we can see. We're all lame, and our path is crooked, and we don't know where we're going. But in him, we walk straight. See, I mean, this is all the gospel. It separates it out here in the word, and that's what triggered the thoughts. It's like nobody else qualifies to have the gospel preached to them. But you're pretty poor if you're dead, deaf, lame, blind, can't see. So,
well,
doesn't deny what you're saying about Jesus saying that he can do it, but it just seems to be more than that.
Well, the reason that he said it to John, he's saying this, tell John this, is because each of those are fulfillment of prophecies. That this is what Messiah would do. This is what would take place in the Messianic kingdom. That's the reason that he outlined those things, because each of those are a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the only reason, but the point of it is not the preaching of the gospel to the poor.
And interesting too that it's all about go tell John this.
Right. Yeah, this is why that's said. Like the disciples of John came and asked him, "Are you the one?"
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke. Luke 16. We're out of time, but let me just say one more thing. The word that he was laid there, well, first of all, let me quickly do this. Lazarus is from the Hebrew, and it's the same word where we get Eliezer, and it means it's a word that means God, whom God helps. That's what Lazarus means in Hebrew. And he was laid at the gate. Laid, that means somebody had to bring him there. He didn't get there himself. By the use of the word for laid, he was brought there to the gate. And gate is the word that means it's the gate of a palace or a mansion. But in the temple, it's used for the word for a porch or alcove thing. But I just wanted to spend some time here on just 1 second on the word full of sores. It's helkos, helko in Greek, and it means ulcerated sores, which they're all open sores. So it's disgusting. Have you ever had an ulcerated sore? You know, one of those deals. Anybody ever had that, where you get some kind of infection and it just doesn't heal? Anyway, if you haven't, you've probably heard about it. But just imagine that all over your body, ulcerated sores. And it's the same thing that happened to Job, and the dogs licked him. So this guy is in bad shape, Lazarus. And so we'll just leave it there, and we'll continue on what Abraham's bosom and all that means. All right? But this word, the rich, is critical as opposed to poor. And we've heard me talk about this many times when I was living under the bridge. The homeless people, they were rich as this guy, because they had nothing but opinions about everything. And the opinions gave them status in their own mind and wealth. And they weren't broken. They weren't. I'm not saying everybody that's homeless is like that, but I certainly met a lot of them. And so the point of it is, those aren't the poor. There's just probably as many wealthy people that are poor from the spiritual standpoint as there are homeless people. And that's what we have to see. But you have to speak it. Because if you don't speak to let them know that the state that they're in of not gaining satisfaction or sustenance from any of the wealth and things they're doing, if you don't speak it, then you're not doing the watchman's duty. Amen? What?
Something to do.
Huh?
That's something to do.
No, it's what you, it's the fruit of belief. You can't believe and not speak. I believe, therefore I spoke. I promise you, if you will want to not speak until it becomes a burning fire inside you and you have no choice. But it's not passive, I promise. All right, take it, big guy.